Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, friends, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
Good to be on here with you all. Thankfully, things are opening back up in our city and in our country. The COVID numbers are going down. We are moving into monsoon, so that's a bit of a, puts a cramp on things a little bit, but we're just thankful.
First month's always fun.
That's right.
Kids are playing in the rain. They're on summer break. So we're having a good month and feeling a little bit of excitement about getting out, seeing people, and going to people's homes has been so refreshing.
Yes. Yeah. After a long time of just only seeing ourselves face to face, it's been nice to get out and get some FaceTime. This summer, as we go throughout the rest of these summer months, we wanted to step back a little bit and look at some heart issues that people in ministry and missions deal with that come up a lot. A lot of our conversations, a lot of our coaching over the years, a lot of our teaching and teaming, these just come up over and over and over again. And so we wanted to do a little heart work this summer and just deal with some of the heart issues. And so today we're going to be dealing with one issue in particular. What we'd like to do in each episode is zero in on kind of one thing. And the topic today is going to be selfish ambition in ministry and in missions. Shaney deals with this one, and I really don't. So yes, she's going to be doing most of the talking.
Jesse's here just to give all the answers.
That's right. Just an objective perspective from the outside. That's right. So Shaney's going to dig in and just explain a lot of how the Lord has led her through this path over the past several months. We look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to share on this one because it really is, if I had to talk about like the main thing God has done in my heart in the last few years, it's been a big part of this. So it makes me excited to talk about it because talking about what the Lord has done in my life is one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
All of my close friends are going to know pretty much everything I'm saying in this episode because it's just been such a big part of my life. And I'm definitely one of those people who has to talk about everything I'm learning. I also, though, do think it's such a common struggle for people in ministry.
It is, yeah.
So I think it'll be helpful for a lot of listeners. And even if you don't relate perfectly to my story, I think it'll still have some biblical truths that will encourage everyone.
Definitely.
So we're going to have, I hope, very strong biblical truth in the episode, but bits of my story woven in and out.
Yeah. And maybe just some good kind of prefacing for this as well. I think Shaney is right, exactly right. All of the conversations we've had over the years and even our own experience point to the fact that this is really pervasive in ministry. This, some of the fruits that we're going to look at, like comparison, some of those idols that come up in ministry, evaluating other people's ministry, judging ourselves according to what we see in their ministry, those kinds of things. But I think also just personally, Shaney is very much an achiever. Both of us are kind of go-getters when it comes to this. And I think this is part of why the Lord was dealing specifically with this issue over the past couple of years. It's definitely a personality thing that we both kind of struggle with.
So my plan is I want to say a definition, kind of what we mean when we say selfish ambition. I want to share two key texts on selfish ambition. A couple symptoms or companions are fear of man and comparison. So I want to talk about those. And then what's the cure? What's the solution? How do we fight it? How do we get victory? When I say selfish ambition, this is a word that's in Philippians 2 and in James 3. And finding this biblical word to define some of the stuff going on in my heart was like kind of a turning point for me. It was very clarifying. And so this definition I'm telling you is just what I have found in reading commentaries and studying these two texts. It's a strong inner desire to be better than others at everything that's important to me. Okay. There's high achievers. There's those hardworking people who are driven and they have lots of accomplishments. That's one thing. Selfish ambition takes it up a notch. Like accomplishing a lot isn't actually enough. I need to be better than others. I mean, preferably better than everybody, but at least better than the people that I compare myself with. Like whatever that circle is. Okay.
Unless you let yourself off the hook, if you're not like an Enneagram 3 high achiever. I do. Like I said it before, I think so many people that we've talked to, this is just confirmed. It may not be as explicit. They may not recognize it as much, but I think especially as we talk through some of the companions and some of the fruits that come from it, you're going to identify, recognize that this is really a struggle for everybody in some way.
It's the Greek word erethian. I'm no Greek scholar, but some of you are. And it is in Philippians 2:3 and James 3:14. So I want to read these two passages because I think they will help fill out this definition of selfish ambition. Philippians 2:3-8. Just listen to these words. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So this passage uses the word selfish ambition. It says to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. And this passage shows us the opposite of selfish ambition, which is Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
And here, Christ-likeness, that it has highlighting Christ's humility, how Jesus humbled himself. He was a servant. He didn't have to show that he was God every moment. He emptied himself. He counted others more important than himself. He laid down his life to serve others, and he was obedient even to the point of death. So here we see the opposite of selfish ambition.
Right.
It's humility,
just the contrast,
and it's ultimately Christ-likeness.
Right.
The other text I want to look at is James 3:14-18. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. This passage shows us some of the roots and just the ugliness, the true ugliness of selfish ambition. James says it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I want to talk about those three words. Selfish ambition is earthly. It's the way of the world.
Yeah.
And I think in American culture, it's just kind of the air we breathe, the water we swim in. James says it is unspiritual. That means this is a desire of the flesh. It's a lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
It makes our old self, our flesh, feel really good.
Yeah.
It's what our flesh wants, right? And James says it's demonic. This is the way of Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan and his side, they are actively working to promote selfish ambition in everybody's lives.
Yeah.
We're memorizing Ephesians 2:1-10 as a family this summer. This was a new insight for me. Right here where James says selfish ambition is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. None of us should be surprised if we struggle with selfish ambition.
Yeah.
Because in Ephesians 2, we learn that we all, at one time, we're following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work, and the sons of disobedience. This is the way of the world and Satan. It's selfish ambition.
Yep.
So if you struggle with it, it's because all of us ultimately do.
That's right.
And it's who we were before Jesus. One more thing that James points out that is ugly but true. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So this is where we see, because selfish ambition means I have to be better than you, it leads to disorder. It can lead to conflict. And I think sometimes we like to pretend selfish ambition is kind of a private struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm an overachiever.
Right.
I just work hard. But that inner desire to be better than others causes disorder and conflict. Yeah. It affects our relationships.
We even, I think, not only privately, but publicly as well, I think sometimes we shroud it in better sounding terms or in better sounding motives. Like,
yeah.
I just want to be excellent at this. I want to be really good at this, or even Christianize it, kind of sanctify it and say, no, I want to use my gifts and my talents to the fullest. There's a lot of different ways to, I think, sort of baptize mm-hmm. what's really going on in our hearts and in our flesh.
Right. Because it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
That there's no problem with hard work. Mm-hmm. Hard work's good and biblical,
yep.
but this is a heart issue. So I want to talk about these two companions or symptoms of selfish ambition, mm. fear of man and comparison. As I mentioned, I didn't like really get to this biblical word of selfish ambition until actually like 6 months ago. Before that, I was dealing with fear of man and comparison yeah. in my life a lot. And it's helped me to figure out how these go together. Mm. Fear of man is when we just care too much about what other people think of us. It's when we find ourselves wondering how people perceive us.
Yeah.
It could be our coworkers, our friends, relatives, teammates. Mm-hmm. But we want their approval and we'd like their admiration,
sure.
actually. So sometimes when life is going fine, we might not even be aware of this. But when we notice, I have found in my life, it's when we do hear that negative comment
mm-hmm.
or we feel like maybe misunderstood.
Right. Or when you were expecting the compliment and it doesn't come.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when you kind of start thinking about those things, replaying it, and you just know, like, I care about that too much.
Yep.
Comparison is similar. I have had so many conversations with coworkers mm-hmm. about comparison.
Yeah.
It's something that most of us are battling
mm-hmm.
to some extent. I think we all have our favorite things to compare.
Mm.
And a lot of times they're either things that are important to us, mm-hmm. like maybe things we take pride in,
yeah.
or the opposite, things we're insecure in.
Mm.
So it makes us feel not so good when someone else is good at those mm-hmm. things. I think that men and women, Christians and non-Christians, struggle deeply with comparison.
Sure. I think it's only gotten worse. It's highlighted by social media, the accessibility of everything. Social media in some ways is just kind of like a dog and pony show constantly.
Yeah.
You're blowing up, trying to elevate how good you are, or the humble bragging, all that stuff is just so rampant
mm-hmm.
these days. It's become common.
Yeah. Okay, let's think about how these lead to one another. If selfish ambition means I need to be better than others, that automatically results in me comparing myself to others, right? Because now I've made it where my success, my feeling of worth is actually contingent upon your performance.
Right.
Or at least my perception of it.
Mine being better than yours.
Right.
Yeah.
So that obviously can lead to conflict or disorder mm-hmm. or jealousy, as these verses said.
Mm.
And it can kind of put us at odds with one another
yeah.
in our hearts, although we hide that a lot.
For sure.
It can. Selfish ambition also, something that we give it so much power. It makes us care too much about what others think about mm-hmm. us. And when you stop and think about it, it's actually really silly and crazy that we would give someone else that much power yeah. over us, that how you perceive me,
mm-hmm.
knowing you don't have the full story, knowing you're also a sinner,
mm.
but how you perceive me can threaten my okayness,
yeah.
my happiness. That doesn't even make sense when you stop and think about
right.
it. Like, why would I give you that much power?
Right.
And I do just want to be very straightforward and biblical and say that this is idolatry.
Yeah.
The fear of God is a huge part of the solution
mm-hmm.
to the fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to point out how those things kind of all go together
yeah.
and feed off each other. But if you get rid of selfish ambition, you get rid of fear of man and comparison because you no longer have to gauge your success
right.
on how others are doing mm-hmm. or how they are perceiving you mm-hmm. because you don't need their approval anymore. Mm-hmm. So these are all selfish ambition, comparison, fear of man. They're common sin struggles. Mm. They are earthly. They are worldly. It's the way of the world. They're demonic. They are unspiritual. They are desires of our flesh,
yep.
of our old self. And they, when we get those things, when we get that approval, it feels good because mm-hmm. it makes our flesh happy.
Right.
So I want to talk now for the rest of the episode about how do we fight this?
Yeah.
What is the solution? What is the cure?
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a 5-step plan for you. For the rest of this episode, we're going to share some thoughts. I'm going to share particularly how God has grown me a lot in my life
yeah.
and my journey with this. Jesse's going to share some of his thoughts, and we're going to share some different biblical truths. But I don't actually think there is one like absolutely clear, like this is the way to get victory over this. I think there's lots of biblical answers.
Yeah.
For instance, we already said, fear of man is idolatry. It needs to be repented of and replaced with greater fear of God. Mm-hmm. Or Philippians 2, opposite of selfish ambition is Christ-likeness. So just stop thinking about yourself. Go serve others.
Yep.
Those are parts of the answer. Repentance, calling out our sin, confessing. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of it.
Right. Just recognizing it along the way. I think just being able to look and be honest with yourself and recognize those feelings of mm-hmm. the indicators, those flags that come up when you see someone else that is praised, right? That's always a good indicator, is how you handle someone else's praise. Somebody that mm-hmm. maybe even a coworker, like a colleague who would kind of be on the same level with you, or people would expect, have similar expectations for that person. When they are praised for doing something good, what is our heart reaction? Those mm-hmm. are good just kind of indicators along the way.
Yep. Well, one thing that has been important for me
mm-hmm.
as I have really fought against this in my heart and have really wrestled with God in prayer to set me free from this has been identifying insecurity. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about insecurity. I think this is in many ways a root of selfish ambition, fear of man, comparison. To be insecure is to be open to threat or danger. To be secure is to be free from threat or danger. Now, these definitions are powerful for me. I want us to think about those a minute. When we're secure in a relationship with someone, we feel safe. We mm-hmm. have nothing to hide,
yeah.
nothing to defend, nothing to prove, nothing to fear, nothing to be nervous about. There's no shame. There's no fear. Let's think about that in our relationship with Christ. When we are truly secure in Christ, what he's done for us on the cross, his love for us, his character, his approval personally over me, that sets us free from needing to prove our worth by performing or by being the best at everything. That security in Christ sets us free from that threat of danger.
Yeah.
We're no longer open to the threat of failure
right.
or the threat of
being
someone's disapproval.
Out, being abandoned.
Right.
Not being valued.
Right. Yeah. And so Jesus's love has filled me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lacking. I don't need you to also approve of me or also love me. I've got enough. I'm good. I'm not needy for everyone else to think I'm awesome. But I want to say, I've been a believer for decades. I, like many, many listeners, I think we've all heard so many sermons, podcasts, read books about being secure in Christ, finding our identity
your
in Christ.
Identity, yeah.
And I just want to admit, sometimes we know it in our heads, but we struggle to live it out. Just struggle for it to actually, for us to feel it enough
yeah.
in the middle of the day that it affects how I function in my relationships.
Right.
Does that make sense
yeah.
for you? You
yeah.
feel that for
yeah,
yourself?
Totally. I mean, it's just like part of the broader conversation, I think, just about the gospel and how we live according to the gospel, is that we need to remind ourselves of that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the things that you talked about before, this is our former way of life. The old man is still at work in us. We're just, we're prone to go back to those things, to turn back to those things, to find our gratification there. Because like so many other things, that pertain to sin, it is that instant gratification, yeah. right? This is the place you can go and get that, man, this feels good to do. When you yeah. get the approval of others, mm-hmm. that is your reward right there.
Yeah.
Is that you just get that feeling, that immediate high.
Right. I think it really helped me because I had a little season where I was taking this to the Lord and just trying to ask the Holy Spirit to show me, why isn't your love enough for me, God? Mm. Like, why would that not feel like enough?
Yeah.
You're the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. Your love is perfect and steadfast. You've done nothing ever to make me question your love for me. Mm-hmm. You've only been faithful and good, always. Why in the world would that not be enough for me? Mm. Why would I ever think I need someone else's approval? Yeah. Why would I care, right? I just have felt that frustration mm-hmm. with myself. But I think, like you said, that was a big key for me, was just recognizing it's a lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And it's even kind of similar to like the end of a tiring day. Mm. You just kind of want to watch a movie.
Yeah.
You want to check out. You want to yeah. get a quick
the
fix.
Quick fix.
Yeah. Yes. And so sometimes working hard, accomplishing something, mm-hmm. having something to show for myself can be that quick fix for me.
Yeah.
It can like makes me feel good, makes me feel strong,
it's
makes
validation.
Me feel self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so it has helped me to notice how that pleases my flesh and then to realize, in contrast to that, to really feel and believe my security in Christ, I have to work at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It requires effort. It requires faith. Mm. I don't just wake up in the morning feeling awesome about it.
Right.
And so just recognizing that has been really helpful for me and being willing to fight for it.
Right. The discipline, just the normal, what should be normal, I guess, or regularly kind of expected, normal to a lot of people who've been in the faith for a long time, those disciplines of getting up in the morning and getting your mind and your heart right before the Lord by going down those established channels that he's given to us for generations, for as long as the church has been around, of spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, seeking out godly fellowship, learning from the saints through reading books and hearing podcasts and sermons, because that fight is there every day. We wake up to it. Like you said, you don't just wake up in the right frame of mind. You wake up to a fight for our soul and for our thoughts and for our hearts, where they're going to be directed towards.
Well, I want to say two things to that. One is, I have changed over the last few years in terms of, I kind of have an explicit goal in my time with God now. I would like to feel really good and happy in Christ at the end of my quiet time every day.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might think that's like, oh, you're putting too much stock in emotions. Like every day you can't have a warm fuzzy in your quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I agree. But I still feel like the best thing for me is to feel really happy in Jesus.
That's right.
Because it makes me less likely to fall into some other God or other way of the world that is just ready to get my attention.
That's right.
So I'm like, you know what? If singing a worship song and raising my hands gets my heart in a place of happiness in Jesus, I will do it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take any help I can get.
Yep.
You know?
It's almost like enjoying God is the thing that we're made for, to like glorify and enjoy
Him. I feel like someone
forever.
Said that.
Somebody should write a book.
Yeah, let's do that.
We should. Be good.
We'll do that next. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say was, I think it's also, when we're talking about insecurity, we might need to get some help. Honestly, like there might be other things in our heart.
Mm.
This is definitely a sin issue. This is definitely a lack of faith issue.
Yep.
But there might be things. I know for me, part of my journey in the last few years has been dealing with some stuff in my past that I had never dealt with. And some counseling and help understanding my heart.
Yep.
And that's been truly helpful in this.
Right.
So
just to see the roots of those things, even if we, I think rightly so, acknowledge what are sin patterns, what are sinful roots as well, but also just what are they, where do they come from? Where's the history? Like, why are we experiencing these things, trying to get to, and especially if they're patterns, right? Especially if there's things that come up over and over again that have become kind of like personality issues.
Yeah. As we kind of wrap up our suggested cure, for me, a big part of that has been to be completely secure in God's love and approval, and for that to be enough for me. And working at that, believing it,
right.
Choosing to believe, working hard to flood my mind with truth,
yeah.
Repeating the same truths to myself over and over,
right.
So that I'm replacing those old ways of thinking with new ways of thinking, noticing what I think,
mm-hmm.
Calling it out when it's wrong, saying, no, that's not true. I don't need that person's approval. Mm-hmm. I reject that.
Right.
I have all I need in Jesus. I have God's love and approval. Just fighting for that day after day.
And just to kind of clarify again, I think you've said it in a variety of ways, but I think that really is the fight of faith, right? What we're doing in each of those times, and this is why I think it's important to maybe clarify this so that it doesn't sound like a list of things you need to do.
Hmm.
But the fight of faith, the reason why faith is the root of salvation for us and all of Christian life is because faith is the thing that directs us out of ourselves. Faith, the whole point of faith is what is it directed towards? What is its object? And in our case, the object is Christ. And so all these things that we're talking about, they're solved through faith because it turns us away from ourselves, helps us to look at Christ, and it's the thing that does the miraculous work of, like, instantaneously, the things that we're hoping for, the things that we want to be true, that according to the scriptures, we kind of long to be true and we know really are. Through faith, we get to experience those things because our hearts are oriented towards Jesus Christ, the source of all that. And that's what takes us away from conceit, takes us mm-hmm. away from just looking at ourselves mm-hmm. and focuses us on Him. That is the fight every mm-hmm. day, is to focus mm-hmm. our eyes yeah. on Jesus Christ, all the benefits, all the riches, all the security that we find in Him.
Yes. And I, just because this is such a dear subject to my heart, there's so much more I would love to say, mm-hmm. but I want to close with three quick words of encouragement for listeners who feel acutely aware of this in their life right now. These are just three things that have risen to the surface that have been influential for me over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The first one is desperation leads to change.
Mm.
This is not a Bible verse that I'm aware of, but this has been true for me. Desperation leads to change. Desperation is not fun. It's miserable. But I will say, many of the pivotal moments and the turning points, the points where I've gone from feeling like a failure, feeling disgusted with what's in my heart, and just saying, oh my goodness, Lord, will I ever get victory over this? Those have been the points that have been turning points
mm-hmm.
where, looking back now, I can see that's when God worked in my heart
yep.
and I saw lasting change.
Mm.
And I think it's because in those moments, though they are so unpleasant, I'm not asking for lots of those moments, okay? But in those moments, God says, okay, Shaney, there you go.
Yeah.
I've finally got you where I want you.
Yeah.
Like, you're finally really, really needy of me and my transformative work.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a Bible verse that applies to this that really was powerful for me when I read it.
Mm.
Jeremiah 13:23. I've never seen this verse on a coffee cup or Instagram, but it says...
But it is actually posted on our bathroom wall next to the mirror. It's been up there for about a year now.
Yes, it is. You should have it memorized by now.
Yeah.
Okay.
A good one to wake up to.
Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also, you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. Okay? So wake up every morning to, you can't do good.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is why I love that verse, because it expresses how I've felt so many times. I have been so aware. I can't change myself. I'm trying and trying and trying. I
yep.
can't do it. Holy Spirit, if this is going to happen, you've got to do something that I can't do.
Mm.
But with that saying, I'm going to keep wrestling in prayer. I'm going to keep wrestling in prayer. So desperation leads to change. If you feel desperate, you just hang right in there. You're in a good spot. Number two, face your fear. I've read a few books on fear, and they all say, if you have a fear, you got to face it.
Mm.
Like, that's the way to overcome it. And that's been true in my experience, and even in some of our parenting. Because I've realized a lot of the things that we're afraid of, we avoid them and we build them up in our head. And then when we actually face them, we realize they're not as scary as we thought.
Not as big a deal.
And we realize we can overcome it.
Right.
And that increases our confidence.
That's right.
The more we avoid it, we just keep believing that lie that thing is big and terrible.
That's right.
Terrible.
unless it's spiders, in which case our fears are completely justified and we don't have to approach them.
And you can live to the age of 41 ever in our lives and be 100% scared of spiders.
Because it's totally rational.
But for this, the fear of man or fear of failure, whatever it might be in this context, God will give you opportunities to face it. Mm. And so do it. Force yourself to speak up boldly with the gospel. Force yourself to share honestly and vulnerably and not overthink. Someone might misunderstand you. Who cares if they do? So face your fear. And when you fail, like I've failed so many times of knowing, oh my goodness, I just sat there so quietly. Why didn't I say anything? Yep. I knew God wanted me to speak. Well, confess it. And if you can, do a redo. Go back, redo it if you can. Because for me, those opportunities, it's usually things like no one else would even notice or know.
Right.
But I know. And I know God is doing a work in my heart, and I want to honor that work.
Yeah.
And if I ignore it, it's like saying to God, well, this isn't that important to me. And it hinders the whole process.
Yeah.
But if we go do a redo, we prove to ourselves that we're committed to obeying. And I think it strengthens our faith.
Yeah, definitely.
And it shows us, yes, God has given me victory. Last word. This one brings tears to my eyes because it's so precious to me. The Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor. This is part of why I feel strongly I don't have like a five-step plan for you. The Holy Spirit can work so powerfully in our hearts in ways that we could never make happen on our own. And in reality, he's 100% in charge of our transformation. Even when we don't see ourselves changing as much as we want, we know he's changing us. The Bible tells us that. And we know he's going to keep changing us until the day we are face to face with Jesus. And he actually has a very clear plan for our sanctification. Even though we're very involved and we're responsible to work hard, he's guiding it, he's planning it, he's providing all that we need. And I believe very much without him, our transformation is very limited. This podcast can only help you so much. A counselor, a book, a sermon can only help you so much. You get alone with the Lord and let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Give him some time. Like, just truly pursue him. Turn on some worship music. Get out a journal. Take a walk. Whatever you need to do. But pursue him. I have been so amazed how he has proven himself to me to be the wonderful counselor.
Yeah. I mean, he's alive. He's a person. He deals with us personally and speaks to us. And some of those deepest points, as we've talked about several times over the past couple of years, about he'll bring out something that you just weren't expecting, like a person would. You know, just in the midst of a conversation, bring out something that you're not expecting even. Or experiences we've all had, maybe when the Holy Spirit out of nowhere just puts his finger on an issue or a sin. And just to expect that, to know that he does that. That's how he works.
And if you're not sure how to pursue the Holy Spirit, because that might sound like a little too unclear, read the Bible and pray.
There you go.
Can't go wrong. I hope that's been helpful. This has been really wonderful for me. I hope you all can relate to it, and I'm very excited. Next episode, Jesse's going to be sharing mostly, and I'm excited to hear what you have to share.
Thanks, friends.